Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago's 9th podcast. I'm John Zaglul, owner and operator of Sports Talk Chicago. Just want to let you know a few quick remarks before we head into our top story. Please follow us on Twitter at ShyTalkSports, over 330 followers up to date. Also, follow my personal accounts on Instagram, Google+, and also LinkedIn, which is pretty new. And I know we haven't been doing many podcasts lately, but please keep looking at our website because we are posting brand new articles that have been up, including the new Bears and Cubs ones that were posted recently. Finally, just want to give you another quick note. Please continue to leave us some feedback on any of our articles or podcasts that are recently posted. We love to hear what you viewers think. We want to improve on, you know, what we do well on, what we really don't do well on, so we can help you guys have the best viewing experience possible to our articles and podcasts. Anyways, our top cover story, or our big top story of the day is regarding the NFL and its domestic violence arrests so far, and the players who have been arrested. I'm sure you all have heard, that's pretty popular now, about the Ray Rice situation, along with Adrian Peterson recently getting arrested, and Arizona Cardinals running back Jonathan Dewey recently got arrested too. All three of them were arrested basically on domestic violence issues. I'm sure everyone, first of all, has heard about Rice. You know, he punched his fiancée in an elevator about 6 months ago, and now suddenly everybody's, you know, it's coming to the light of everybody, including Commissioner Roger Goodell, who has claimed that he has not seen the video until about 2 weeks ago, despite the fact that an anonymous reporter for the Associated Press says that he sent it to the NFL 6 months ago when it actually happened. Along with Adrian Peterson, about his situation, he apparently hit his son with a switch, which is a small tree branch, and his son suffered severe wounds to his head and his chest. So Peterson was arrested and he was freed on bail, but he will not be playing this weekend for the Vikings. And also Jonathan Dewey, which is pretty new, apparently assaulted his ex-girlfriend, and he right now will not be playing again this weekend for Arizona. Now, a quick interesting fact that I found here on the NFL, six players have been arrested on charges of domestic violence since the start of the 2013 season, including Peterson's recent arrests for child abuse. Dating back to 2000, the NFL's domestic violence arrest rate is significantly lower than that of the national average. So, believe it or not, most of the NFL players have been staying out of trouble for the past 15 years. It's just been this unlucky, maybe, string of events that has so far capped the 2014 season. I heard another quote saying that the NFL is most popular now than it ever was in recent years, and that's because of these horrible atrocities that we have been seeing committed by these players. And it's tough to hear about. It was tough for me to watch that Ray Rice video. But either way, I see this as just, it's a shame. It's a real shame that the NFL and its players are really, you know, just bad people outside of the game. You hear about stuff all the time. I mean, Lawrence Taylor is a big example. Lawrence Taylor, one of the best, probably, defensive ends ever to play this game, yet he's a drug addict outside of the game. He was arrested 4 different times for using the substance of cocaine. So it's a shame that these NFL players, who are looked up to by everybody, I mean, me, you, anybody, loves Adrian Peterson, and then to see him get arrested for hitting his son, it's heartbreaking, and it's equivalent to a baseball player using steroids in this situation. And it's a real shame, and I'm not a fan of that at all. If you have any comments, certainly, please comment on here. Let me know what you guys think, but I mean, here's another quick stat I just found, too. Based on the approximate 2,560 players that are on NFL teams in training camp and the regular season, Benjamin Morris of 538 reports that the league's arrest rate for domestic violence is just 55.4% of the national average. Of those 1,696 players that are currently on NFL rosters, 0.7% have been arrested for domestic violence in the last 9 years. That comes from NBC News. So what they're basically saying is that the rates have been actually historically low and very low in the NFL, but this just unlucky string of arrests makes the NFL look horrible, and it could cost Roger Goodell his job. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if he's maybe lying, and, you know, the NFL, people have been saying this is being compared to the Watergate cover-up, and I could say that, too, considering that Goodell got this video of Ray Rice over 7 months before this was released to the public, and now Goodell is saying, oh, I just saw this when this video came out from the public. That was courtesy of TMZ, and I don't agree with that. I'm pretty sure he's seen that video before, and my question is, why hasn't he acted on this? And it's a shame, because Goodell will end up losing his job, and these three unlucky events will end up actually affecting the NFL's reputation. Many players are now going to be looked at as, you know, just horrible people, when obviously that's not the case. And also, Bears player Charles Tillman was quoted saying the same thing, and not all NFL players are horrible people. There have just been, you know, there's been some bad influences and some bad events that have currently just rocked the NFL world and rocked the whole world internationally. But anyways, we're going to move on now. We'll stay on the topic of football here, talk about the Chicago Bears had a big win last weekend in San Francisco at the brand new stadium. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I don't know if you could either. So, Jay Cutler passes for 4 straight touchdowns to lead the Bears to a 28-20 victory. Now, the Bears in general, now they are 1-1. Of course, they lost in that infamous Week 1 OT loss to the Bills, which I still cannot believe actually happened. And I was pretty disappointed in the fact that the Bears actually lost opening day to the Bills. But anyways, it was a big win last week, which really restored faith in Bears fans, including me. And I still, though, am going to say an 8-8, maybe a 9-7 record for the Bears this season. If you looked at my article already, I did say 8-8. I'm going to move it up, though, to an 8-8 or a 9-7, just because of the fact that, you know, if they could beat San Francisco in the fashion that they did, they have an okay chance of doing, you know, okay, maybe above average this year. Now, if the Bears somehow did make the playoffs, I'm not going to say they're going to go far. They aren't a Super Bowl team yet, and I'm sure you've recognized that as well. There are still some flaws in the defense, obviously. And the Bears, I think, biggest problem defensively is the fact that their secondary and their linebacking core is not the best. I mean, you know, at linebacker, you got Shea McClellan, who is actually, I'm sure you remember, used to be a pretty darn good defensive end, moved him to linebacker, so he's trying to still get his feet wet at the position. The Bears also have Kasim Green, though, and he's, you know, he has lack of experience. And as far as the secondary goes, Kyle Fuller did have a big game. Chris Conte had an interception, but now Conte has been hurt, an upper body injury apparently, so he will be out this weekend at least. And again, Charles Tillman is now out for the year after he re-tore his triceps. So, I mean, just the Bears suffering from injuries already going only into week 3 of the season. It's kind of tough to hear about. It's tough to watch, obviously, too. And it's kind of sad that the Bears actually were looking okay this year. But these injuries are obviously going to cost them in the long run. One last note on football. I don't know if any of you saw, but Thursday night, Devin Hester broke the record for touchdown returns combined by a kick returner / punt returner. He got up to number 20. Broke Deion Sanders' record of 19. And now, if you remember, Devin Hester was stuck on 19 with the Bears for 3 straight years and finally returned it all the way with a different team, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, you guys can comment on this photo or just talk about it with your friends or whatever, but I'm thinking that Devin Hester, it was kind of destiny that he wasn't going to do this with the Bears. I mean, it's always that way. He got all those returns with the Bears. He was doing so well, then all of a sudden he just, you know, laid an egg and never returned one for 3 years. I don't understand how that's possible. And then in his third game in with a brand new team, he takes one all the way back. I mean, I don't like that. I didn't like that at all when he did that. Just for the fact that, you know, I'm not going to say that he did it on purpose. I don't want to speculate. But it's kind of sad that he actually waited 3 years to return one back with a different team that he was even drafted with. He's been with the Bears for almost, 8-9 years, And then he goes to Atlanta and does it in his third game there. So, I mean, comment on this page, see what you know, think of that, because I'm certainly not happy about that. We're going to move on now to some baseball news. We got the Sox and the Cubs being covered. Unfortunately, none of them are in the playoff race, and both of them have been officially eliminated from playoff contention. Nevertheless, though, we're going to look forward to these last couple of games and to next season. We're going to have to start off with some White Sox news here, and I'm not trying to be biased or say anything, but to be honest with you, the White Sox are in a little worse shape here than the Cubs. First of all, I want to give credit to Jose Abreu. What a rookie season he has had. 35 home runs, he's hitting .319, he leads the league in OPS at .979, and he has 104 RBIs. That's a big rookie year, and you know what, he should win the MVP. Unfortunately, the White Sox aren't that good of a team this year. Keep in mind, if the Sox could have at least broke .500, Jose Abreu would be a serious contender for the MVP. Instead, this year, he may just win Rookie of the Year. The Sox, too, also with Chris Sale having a Cy Young caliber year in the AL. His ERA is second in the AL at a 2.20. He also has 12 wins and 4 losses and 198 strikeouts in only 168 innings of work, currently one of the best years he has ever had in a White Sox uniform. Now, the only problem with that is, other than those two players that I just mentioned, the Sox are kind of lacking some depth. And it's going to be a tough time for them. You know, I mean, I know they really, no team wants to enter that rebuilding process, but it could be coming up very soon, and I hate to say that for all you Sox fans out there. Next season, it's not going to look good for the White Sox, to be honest with you, but I'm hoping for them to win 70 to 75 games and, you know, maybe make a run for their money in the wild card next year. But other than that, it is not going to be a good year next year for the White Sox. We're going to move on now to the Chicago Cubs, who, on the other hand, have all things looking up. I mean, when you've seen them been playing recently, they have wreaked havoc on teams trying to make it to the playoffs, and the Cubs next year are going to be even better. Now, next year, I'm not going to say that the Cubs are even going to make the playoffs, but I could see them breaking even, maybe winning 80 to 85 games, and making a run for their money in the wild card. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, 2016 or 2017 are the years to watch for the Cubs to actually make it back to the World Series. Now, I know that sounds crazy, so let me explain here. First of all these rookies that the Cubs have called up will be there. Javier Baez, Jorge Soler, Logan Watkins, and they still have to call up some more, like Chris Bryant and CJ Edwards and some other pitching and hitting back down to the minor leagues. And on top of it, the Cubs already still have Rizzo and Castro in the lineup. The Cubs will be looking awesome next year, and I'm not going to rule out a possible World Series, at least appearance, before 2020. Now, as far as this year goes, the Cubs, they're ending on a strong note. Keep in mind this interesting statistic: the Cubs won 16-14 in August. That's the first time they finished over .500 in August since that famous 2008 season in which they won 97 games. So things are looking up for sure for the Cubs. It's going to only be now a matter of time, a waiting game for the team. Now, for both teams, the Cubs and the White Sox, the season ends at the end of September. I think it's September 28th, and that will be it again until next year when spring training starts at the end of February. Now we're going to move on to some Chicago Bulls news. I'm sure you've heard already, though, as far as basketball goes, the U.S. won the gold medal in the FIBA World Cup. They beat Serbia, and congratulations to them, first of all. But I want to get now to the topic of Derrick Rose. Now, Derrick Rose, actually, he did okay and with the FIBA World Cup team of USA. He had some good assists. He also had, you know, he had some points. He wasn't a big contributing factor in their victory, but he certainly did help the cause. Now, as far as the Bulls in general go, they are looking pretty good this year. First of all, they do have Pau Gasol. They did sign him, and although he is old, he could still perform, and he has been performing with the Lakers, despite the Lakers, you know, did bad last year, but he still did okay. In some more Bulls news, the Bulls did sign guard Etuan Moore to a contract. He spent his last two seasons with the Magic, and he was drafted out of Purdue University. Moore wasn't really a starter, but he got 6.3 points per game in 79 games last year, but again, he only started 3 times. So another local talent, the Bulls, you know, just signing more people to get some depth on their bench for the upcoming season. Finally, we're going to move on now to some Chicago Blackhawks news. The Hawks recently started training camp in South Bend, Indiana. I have a few news bits for you here regarding some off-season trades. First of all, I'm sure you've heard the Blackhawks signed center Brad Richards to a one-year $2 million deal, and he will start camp alongside second-line wingers Patrick Kane and Brandon Saad. And again, the Hawks over the offseason gave Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane 8-year, $84 million extensions. The Hawks also traded Brandon Bolig to the Calgary Flames for a draft pick. But again, I've heard now that there will be a trade coming soon, so watch out. The Hawks are $2 million over the NHL salary cap. They need to get under that before the first game on October 9th. So everyone's on edge waiting for a move, including Duncan Keith, who says that he could see one coming very soon. He says, sure, I think about it, but it's not something that's a topic of conversation every day amongst us players. We all kind of know the business, and obviously, management has to make some decisions. Trades are always part of the game and part of the business. So at least he's okay with that. I'm sure all the Hawks are okay with that, and I look forward to start to watching them again on October 9th. That's when the puck drops for the Hawks. It's closing time for our show. We have our final segments before we say goodbye, but first of all, here are our final segments first. It's the Odd Sports Story segment. And here's a real odd sports story coming out of St. Petersburg, Florida. It is the 32nd International Shuffleboard Association World Championship. And I'm sure you've all known or heard about shuffleboard. It's kind of for older people. It's a sport where you kind of use a utensil to push a disc across the board, and wherever it lands, you get points for it. So they are having the championship. It's also the 100th year of shuffleboard being played in Florida, a milestone that prompted the ISA to hold its tournament at the St. Petersburg Shuffleboard Club. Anyways, we are going to move on now to our Punchline of the Day segment. I personally like this one as well. So here's a weird sports joke for you now. So here's the question. What does NASCAR stand for? The answer, non-athletic sport created around rednecks. And I'm sure that actually kind of makes sense. But anyway, that was our sports jokes segment of the day. We're going to move on now to this is my favorite segment, the announcer's call of the day segment. Now, I'll set the mood for you guys here. This play is actually called the Music City Miracle. This was in January 8, 2000. It was a football game between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. Now, Tennessee down to their last 12 seconds. They're trailing by only a couple of points. They need a miracle here to actually win it and move on. This is the AFC wildcard playoff game. So, without further ado, let's take a listen.
Chances on a return, as opposed to swift kicking it, let him get it with about 12 seconds to go and a possibility for a play. Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson. Dyson down the sideline. Dyson's going to go all the way. And there is no play.
Now, although that it was considered a forward pass, they ended up reviewing it, and the call was overturned. It was a touchdown after two laterals on a kick return by Tennessee. They ended up going to the Super Bowl that year, but they ended up losing, and they barely lost, but they did lose in the Super Bowl. But what an event in sports history. If you've never seen that, look it up on YouTube. It's a miraculous event that you should watch. Anyways, that'll be it for today for Sports Talk Chicago's 9th podcast. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, please follow us on Twitter, follow me on Google+, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And again, we always appreciate your feedback. Please, let us know how we're doing. Let me know how this podcast was so I know how to make it better for you guys the next time around. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate it as always. We'll try and get in a podcast next week, but if not, watch out for some new and recent articles about current sports news, because as you know, Sports Talk Chicago is your source for the current Chicago sports news. Thank you so much. I'm John Zagluel. Goodbye, and have a great day.